An awkward silence. I bet you checked your phones to make sure the podcast was playing. I know I would. But anyway, welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerd's Way. I am your host, Count Dracula.
And I am your host, Van Helsing.
This is going to be a fight to the death.
Please enjoy.
But yes, no, welcome to this ramshackled, glorious podcast of doom, glory, and of course, destiny.
And what's my destiny?
Your destiny is pain, John. Pure, unadulterated pain.
Can I get a better destiny?
We'll see how we go.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are going to be discussing glorious topics today. John, give us a rundown.
Well, basically what we're going to be talking about is I actually all tabbed away from the topic list. The year 2038 and how it's when the world's going to end.
Terrifying.
Also, this new show called Umbrella Academy. I mean, the rolling R is optional. Going to talk about something you're looking forward to, Good Omens.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of come up with our own reality TV shows.
Oh, right. Fun.
All this and more for 30% off if you buy within the next 20 minutes.
I like it. It's a sale.
Or just keep listening to the podcast. You don't actually need
it. It's free. It's yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20% off free is still free.
Enjoy this intro. So, John, do you have some strange fascination with the year 2038? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. But my fascination is not, as you put it, strange. The strangest thing of all is if you have no fascination for the year 2038. Because it is confirmed as the time we will all die. Not 2012, which turned out to be false.
Mm-hmm.
Not the year 2000, which turned out to be false.
Right.
2038.
Interesting. And why is this because that when we converted from the Aztec calendar, we were like 12 years off or something like 20 something years off? I can't remember.
No, nothing to do with the Aztecs. We brought this on ourselves.
Glorious. Okay. Walk me through the doom that is to come.
Okay. Basically, computers use these little things called bits that are either on or off. And
all my bits are gonna off.
I was going to say, we store our times as 32-bit integers. Now, there's only about 2 billion numbers or something, 2 billion seconds that you can store through this format. Anyway, what it means is that at 3 o'clock in the morning, 14 minutes past the hour and 7 seconds past the minute.
So you're saying is at 14 minutes and 7 seconds past 3 in the morning.
Yes, I mean, I said that. Just was trying to make it sound cooler.
You do,
in Universal...
John, you're so cool right now. I mean, I'm needing a jumper. Oh, weather jokes.
Well, you'll definitely need a jumper after this, let me tell you.
Oh, okay.
Because at 40 minutes and 7 seconds past 3 on the hour at UTC time, on the 19th of January 2038, the universe will stop. No, not really.
The universe?
All clocks that use 32-bit to store the current time will end up looping around to the start, which will cause numerous software bugs.
Yeah.
Now, you may have heard of this with the year 2000 and the millennium bug.
The Y2, yep.
It's a bit easier to understand with that one because we just basically stored a two-digit number for the date instead of a four-digit number to save space. I know, brilliant idea not. But with this one, it's the same thing, but it's in bits. So it doesn't line up on a nice, convenient number per se.
Okay.
So 2038, 19th of January, put it in your calendar, everything's going to explode because this could possibly affect your car's ABS. So if you need to stop suddenly, you'll skid.
That's automatic braking system or something?
Anti-lock braking system.
Fair enough.
And it could also affect your ESC your electronic stability control, which means if you're on a rainy day,
boring,
carving it out, drifting.
I'm just going around these roundabouts, just, you know, like hand out the window, slapping it like you would the rear hump of a horse, you know, just like,
you know, you don't need to like.
I offer motivation.
Yeah, your car.
Yeah.
What do you call
it? You need your last horse.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. And then traction control, same thing. And mm-hmm. also automatic four-wheel drive systems.
Oh.
So it's going to be chaos.
I mean, all of that basically affects me, except, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm driving. I probably will be driving at this time, let's face it, 3:14 in the morning.
Yeah, you do drive a lot at strange hours of the night due to your job.
And not just that, I do like the creepiness of night, you know, going out into the bush and just waiting there for
the only thing hapless. I will say mm-hmm. is for you, this will actually be 11. Like, if you're in Perth at this time, that'll be 11 in the morning.
Yeah, speaking of which, what is UTC? That's Universal?
Universal something. What does it actually stand for?
Because I thought it was Greenland is the
Coordinated Universal Time.
Oh, there
I
you
mean,
go.
They've just put the words in the wrong order. It's probably because it's French.
Oh, French. The French. I'm just kidding. I like our French listeners. But only so our
it's
French
It's exactly
listeners.
The same as Greenwich Mean Time, but
yeah.
it's...
Greenwich, not Greenland. Yes, that's correct.
I guess it's a more generic term for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
the good news is...
No, there is no good news. We're all going to die.
It's not just cars that are affected.
Oh, good. Fun. Mm-hmm.
It's aircraft as well. So their inertial guidance systems and their GPS receivers are susceptible to this.
Oh, that could be fun.
So don't go on a plane that day.
I think I'm...
Or just make sure it's upgraded to 64-bit time.
Yeah. Or alternatively, I will go on the plane and pray that they haven't. Oh, fingers crossed.
Adam... Do we need to have a conversation? Are you doing all right?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Actually, just, this is normal. This is standard. For
yeah,
Adam.
This is.
But if you have a friend who in says me. Stuff like that,
get them to contact the On Blue.
Yeah. The good news is there is the solution. As I said, the 64-bit time. So that means mm-hmm. you have twice as many bits to store your time in, meaning that this bug is not completely solved, but will not happen again for. Quite some time.
When?
And it's not like it's not just like we're adding twice as many years to mm-hmm. our clock or something like that. We're adding twice as many bits, which means it's exponentially more.
Right, okay.
So the next time this bug will
I'm
appear,
going to sneeze.
Assuming the human race survives this. And please stop interrupting. I'm like getting towards my
yeah, no, I gotcha.
Like the main point.
I'm so excited.
What is going to happen is...
Because I want to know the time. Like, you keep saying... You have said that this is going to be an exponential amount of data that's being added to this, essentially. So, you know, a greater influx of time that we've been given to
yeah,
save
exactly.
ourselves from this bug. So, I'm dying to know what year this happens.
Well, 2038 is when it happens for 32
bits. Oh, yeah.
But mm-hmm. if we somehow survive that,
mm-hmm.
When it's for 64 bits, the next time... And hopefully we don't forget about this by then... It will be at 3:30:08 in UTC time
uh-huh.
on Sunday, the 4th of December. 292,277,026,596 AD.
I mean, our sun's not even going to be.
We'll invent a new one, probably.
Artificial, yeah, that's fair. Artificial sun, yeah.
Or just, it'll be the combined anger of all people about, like, Firefly getting cancelled over the billions of years will fuel our sun.
I mean, maybe that's what we should do for renewable energy nowadays, is...
The anger of TV shows being cancelled.
No, not just, no. Because we have such an outrage culture, right, where... Yeah. Everything offends everybody. Maybe we should just have like a little...
Excuse me, Adam. That offended me.
Sorry, yeah. Maybe we should have just like a little device in the home that, you know, you save up all that frustration and anger. When you get home, you hold on to it and you just channel
you
all your fury
it.
Into
yeah.
it.
And then that powers your house.
Wireless electricity, yeah.
Brilliant. All right, that's genius.
So, yeah, so you're talking about roughly 292,277,024 years in the future.
You skipped a few years there.
No, well, I rounded 596. And I took off 2,000 because, you know.
And you took off the millions. But anyway, yes, about 292 billion years from the future.
So put it in your diary, folks. You never know. You could get immortality. It's possible. Weirder stuff has happened. Actually, it hasn't. But weird stuff happens eventually
to make all the other weird stuff seem less weird.
Precisely.
Otherwise, it'd be weird.
Yep.
So weird stuff, essentially, is the point of this episode. Weird stuff.
So that's crazy.
I just hope that we survive because I know we made it through the Millennium Bug, but the Millennium Bug was not it wasn't affecting quite as many devices as this one.
I'm almost positive, and I can't believe I'm the voice of hope here because usually I'm the pessimist, but I'm almost positive that we will survive as a human race.
Okay. That's why I didn't bring this for the apocalypse off. I only brought it as a segment.
Smart move. But that being said, I mean, we'll probably survive that. We probably won't survive political upheaval that's constantly going on.
Political upheaval is actually good. Or something, probably.
No.
It's better than no upheaval, right?
I see, this is why I like monarchy. It's stable, for the most part, until there's a giant revolt because, you know, the monarchy's become corrupt. And
but
you know,
that period before the revolt...
Perfect.
...is great.
Steady and stable. That's what I like.
All right, monarchy. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
That's how it
should
be,
folk.
The
way of the future.
Elect me as your grand king, and I will rule with an iron fist, and I will have a throne of skulls.
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
I mean,
but hang on. You said folk just then. One
folk.
Singular, just folk.
Yeah, I only need one person to vote for me.
Oh, okay.
Just one. And I will rain down destruction on my enemies.
I started talking about like computer science and how we store time, and we ended up with Adam taking over the world and then raining destruction.
Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way, because it's not really Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. It's Surviving Adam's Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way, because you will only be able to survive my upcoming apocalypse by trivia from this podcast.
Yeah, it will ask esoteric questions like, on episode 13 at 24 seconds and whatever.
What was the word Jonathan said?
And then it's like, trick question, his name's not Jonathan. All right, so yeah, you heard it here first. Upgrade your computer to 64-bit.
Fun times. And scene. You know, John, I have found that there is a great deal of superhero things out at the moment.
Oh, really? I hadn't noticed.
No one over,
right? Superhero stuff?
Yeah, a lot of comic books.
That's a good idea.
Doesn't seem to be
they
much original
make
content.
Movies about superheroes. Yeah. Imagine that.
I actually went and saw Captain Marvel last night. It was aggressively average, in my opinion.
Is that just because you're a male and don't think that female-led movies are good?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Wonder Woman, but I mean, that just means I'm a horrible sexist, I guess. No, but I mean, I just didn't like... I like it. It's not that I didn't like it. I just found it to be aggressively average.
So it was mainly the story writing that you didn't like?
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe some of the character development wasn't there?
So there was a scene in Captain Marvel, where there should have been, like with Brie Larson and someone called I'm not going to spoil anything. Anyway, there's a bit of a conflict.
Yes.
And powers are being exchanged. And Brie Larson is kind of like leaning into this power. And, you know, her movement suggests that she's struggling to move forward, except her face is completely and utterly blank and bland. Like there's no like struggle or emotion on her face.
Okay.
It's just like stone-faced walking forward. That bothered me. And it also bothered me that they did not say, oh, by the way, this is Captain Marvel. You know, the title character of the movie, not happening. That being said, the CGI wasn't terrible.
Wait, so the main character of the movie isn't Captain Marvel?
None. Well, it should be. They just never introduced her as such.
Okay, so they never used that term?
No, not once.
Yeah, I remember they went through that phase of, like, superheroes are cool and, like, they wouldn't use the X-Men's proper names or something, and they didn't have the old uniforms. But then they went the other direction, went fully comic book.
Yeah.
And now maybe they're switching back again, I don't know.
Yeah, well, actually, that would look... What I just said backwards is we should check out there's a trailer for Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
And that looks pretty sexy. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's on YouTube.
Do you mean the movie or the actress playing Dark Phoenix?
Well, that's Sophie Turner, who's Sansa from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dark Phoenix is Jean Grey. And it's basically...
Way to dodge the answer, by the way. It was the movie?
Yes, the movie.
The movie was looking good, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of... No, sorry. I haven't been a huge fan of X-Men stuff. I thought Days of Future Past was fantastic.
Yeah, I like that. I actually like First Class as well, but James McAvoy is just amazing.
Yeah, he's a good
actor. Mr. Tumnus, amazing.
He's good. He's good, no doubt. But anyway, so back to Captain Marvel, just briefly. I found that the problem with Captain Marvel is she's pretty powerful, right? Which is cool, but
that's the problem. How?
Because there's no challenge.
Yeah, that's what I reckon DC got wrong with
Superman.
Superman,
yeah.
And then even to a lesser extent, their version of Batman as opposed to Christopher Nolan's perfect version of Batman.
Okay. Yeah, shots fired.
The superheroes and even Wonder Woman, they're just too good. There's no struggle. Whereas Iron Man, literally saw him building the suit like himself.
Mm.
And it was just a way to keep himself alive. It wasn't like, I'm invincible now. I just needed to make some moral deliberation about what's right. So
I'm just mentioning this,
Marvel is heading that direction. I don't know if that's great.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the struggle of, I'm an alcoholic as well, you know, type of stuff. You know, you see his personal struggles. Like Iron Man, great. Like Iron Man. Not so much Iron Man 3.
I didn't see it.
Fair enough. With Captain Marvel, there's just no struggle, and it got boring. Like, it got boring. That's the problem. So I was just like, some of the lines were pretty good. Some of the delivery was pretty good. I just thought Brie Larson could have been just shown a bit more expression, not in like every scene, but so the problem is they kept making references to her being ruled by her emotion. Okay.
Oh.
And yet she showed little emotion on her face.
But this seems to be the modern way of acting, is just have a blank slate and then have the audience imagine what you're feeling.
That's garbage. I'm sorry. The only person that can pull that off...
There's a name for that technique.
The only person that can pull that off is Aubrey Plaza from Community. No, sorry, from Parks and Recreation. Ludgate, right? Her deliveries are fantastic. So Brie Larson, I think she... I think she could do better, but she didn't do the worst. As I said, this isn't... Like, there's a lot of controversy out there at the moment saying, this is the worst Marvel movie in history. Nope, I'm sorry. Thor 2, rather. The Dark World and Iron Man 3, they're the worst, hands down. But, I just think that the story-wise, it could have been better with Captain Marvel. CGI was good. I didn't mind that. The humor was okay. Wasn't like, you know... side-splittingly hilarious, but yeah, you know, there's bits and pieces in there that make you go you know, the quiet polite chuckle, and yeah, that's pretty good. But regardless, I think there's only really maybe three scenes of about 5 minutes a piece maybe that are worthy to go see it on the big screen. Otherwise, wait for it to be released to DVD or MP3 or whatever you'd like. But other than that, yeah. But anyway, back to that. What were we talking about? Captain Marvel. And what was the other one we were just talking about?
Well, we weren't talking about anything. But since you mentioned how we've got too many superhero movies out there.
All right.
I'm going to tell you about another show, which is a TV show about superheroes.
You mean it's not going to be Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow,
Defenders,
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, what else?
Daredevil.
Is there? Daredevil. So that's eight right there. You mean there's another one?
Yes. But
by the way, tweet me if I've forggotten any. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't. What about the Iron Fist and
Iron Fist? Oh.
Anyway.
Sorry, folks. Yep.
There is yet another superhero show, but I think you might like this one because it does break the genre a little bit.
Yeah.
It's actually a comic that I believe was written by the My Chemical Romance guy, I believe.
Are you serious?
I heard that. Yeah, Umbrella Academy comic.
If you've lied to me here, I'm going to have to end you in the most painful way possible.
Gerard Way, lead vocalist of rock band My Chemical Romance.
My science above.
I did not lie.
Okay, folks, so this is breaking for me. So Umbrella Academy, comic, is written by the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. A pretty famous I know, I'm just reiterating. Okay. That is insane in the membrane. I did not even think of that. Wow. Anyway, so yes.
So he obviously wrote the comic, and it's now being turned into a Netflix TV show. Mm-hmm. Now, it breaks the format a little bit in that it's set kind of in a little bit of a, what do you call it, like a past alternate reality. Okay. So it's not modern day. It's not historical past. It's like, what if we had all these like technologies and stuff, but set in a kind of like a weird dream state of what the past was or could have been. Anyway, okay. It's hard for me to kind of explain it, but it has really good art direction. It's also, the premise is that the world's going to end, so of surviving the apocalypse. There the nerd's way mm-hmm. is good.
Is to become a superhero.
Now, as you say, all these superheroes are just way too powerful. They have no struggle. Well, in the Umbrella Academy, it's actually set after they went through their like perfect heyday as children saving the world, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit like, say, DC's Watchmen, in that it's like set after all the good bit happened, and now you just get all the drama that came about. I guess Incredibles took that premise as well a little bit in a more fun way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really quite good. The way they tell the story, they're not telling you too much at once. They're leaving you guessing and trying
it's
to
like
come
Lost.
To a conclusion.
Ugh.
No. Not like Lost, builds up to the last episode. And you're like, Lost is one of those shows you've just got to pause halfway through the episode and then stop watching, because if you watch the end, you'll just be like, oh, now I have to watch the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Which it kind of paved the way with that. So it has a little bit of that. But it's leaving you to figure out what the world's going on. I'm not very far through it at the moment because I do have a daughter. I don't have a lot of time to watch these TV shows, but I'm enjoying it so far. I like how it's a bit different and they have these really interesting masks. I don't know how they did it, but it's solid white. So I wonder if they put it on in CGI. Have a look at this photo. See, they've got white there. How do they see out?
They totally have like a mask with like the green tape over it or something like that, like green mesh, and then just put it on in post, surely.
It must be.
I mean, that's what they... I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Hmm.
But it's good. They all have very unique powers.
Mm. So explain like the first episode.
The first episode... it's not really a spoiler. Oh, maybe it is.
It's not going to be a spoiler. The first episode's fine.
Essentially their dad died and they are all going back mourn his death.
Isn't there something about like certain women getting pregnant?
So, I mean, the episode starts off with, this woman basically flirting with the guy. She gives him a kiss on the cheek and then instantly begins to deliver a child, which I thought would be a great commercial on why you should practice abstinence. But she jumps into the pool and then suddenly you can just see this cloud of blood and you think, oh my gosh, is she dying or something? But turns out that she's just giving birth. And that's what I was imagining when my wife was about to give birth. I was like, wait, so she's going to like... get it in the bath, because we were doing a water birth, get in the bath and there's just going to be a cloud of blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually, there was hardly any blood at all.
Oh, good. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was, but it was not what I was imagining. And that's what they did in the show.
I can't believe we're talking about blood on the podcast, but yeah, go ahead.
It was just a huge cloud of blood.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone who was directing the show had ever seen a proper birth.
Mm.
But like, I'm pretty sure she'd be dead if she gave up that much blood.
So the thing about this, because I haven't actually seen it, but I have heard the like.
Oh yeah,
the
I
premise
forgot
of the
to
first
say.
Episode, none of these.
She wasn't pregnant at the time.
She wasn't pregnant, and
she gave birth for some reason.
And there were this happened simultaneously across 38 women or something like that.
I think it was was it? I don't actually remember how many it was, but they only found 7 of them in the end and collected them up.
And it was a billionaire guy that wanted them.
Yeah, he basically paid off the family and took them, and they all had superpowers except for one.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really interesting dynamic.
She's
played by Ellen Page, which I was like, wow, they have a high budget.
Oh, really? Ellen Page?
But then they have like a CGI monkey and stuff as well, so they've got pretty high budget.
You had me at someone didn't have power, lost me at CGI monkey.
It's fine. Just imagine Alfred as a monkey, like Alfred from Batman.
Yeah, no, you still lost me.
Forget there's a monkey in it.
Yeah. So the father dies and these children come, though they're adults now, aren't they?
Yeah, so they come to come back. And you realize that, eventually you realize that two are missing.
Oh.
So there's only, well, 5 of them that end up turning up.
Right.
And then you figure out what happened slowly.
Okay. All right.
But it's really well done.
Check it out. That's a good mystery. I like that, John. Well done. Okay. So check it out, folks. Umbrella Academy on Netflix, streaming now.
Well, not right now. You've got to actually load it up.
No, well, hey, someone's watching it somewhere.
True. If you managed to time it so you could click the button on Netflix that exact moment, well done.
Yeah. If you
send us the video of that, and we'll send you a T-shirt. You'll still have to pay for it, but we'll make sure.
If they have managed to had themselves being filmed,
yeah,
just spontaneously whilst watching Netflix, about to watch Netflix, whilst listening to our podcast, and just as I say now, they click the button. And this has to be live streamed as well.
Yeah.
Then I probably will send you a T-shirt.
You heard it here first, guys.
And I enjoy made sure I show. Put probably. So,
Probably. But yes, enjoy the show. Not DC, not Marvel. It's by Dark Horse. So something a bit different.
I do like Dark Horse comics. They're cool. I like that. Because I'm pretty sure that's Dr. Horrible as well.
Is it? Is Dr. Horrible a comic?
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking Bad Horse.
He's bad.
He rides across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin. He got the valuation that you just sent in. It needs evaluation, so let the games begin. No more.
A heinous crime, a show of force, a murder would be nice, of course. Bad Horse,
he's bad.
Uh-oh, I can hear a weird sound effect. Clearly we shouldn't have sung that song.
Nope, sorry, folks. So, John, I'm super excited for something that's coming on the 31st of May.
Is that like your birthday or something?
No.
Because I haven't bought you a gift.
And nor should you. Whoop-de-doo, I got pushed out of a... You know, wow, glorious.
Are we allowed to say that on the podcast?
I mean, it's a natural thing. Yeah, I mean, we literally did talk about, you know, blood, someone giving birth.
Yeah,
you know,
so, true.
Anyway. The 31st of May, something glorious is coming. It's something I have been so excited for since it was announced like 2 years ago. And we have talked about it before briefly, but Good Omens is coming out on Amazon Prime on May 31st. Now, you may be thinking, oh, Good Omens? Oh, what's that? Let me tell you. It is a glorious book written by, Sir Patrick Rothfuss, because that's basically who we always talk about. Boom, count it. We mentioned him on the podcast again. So this is written by...
You need like a website with number of times mentioned Patrick Rothfuss.
So this is written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. And it's a... Like they worked on this together. And it is a fantastic quick premise. So it is the end of days. The Antichrist has been born. And basically, it is the job of this demon named Crowley, who's been living on Earth forever, essentially, to deliver this baby to this nunnery where two people are giving birth currently.
Spontaneously that day?
Not spontaneously, no. However, of course, there is a mix-up, and the Antichrist ends up with a normal family who is raised normally.
I didn't actually know that was part of the plot.
Yeah. And... It comes down to them realizing it. It comes down to Crowley and Aziraphale, who is his counterpart, Angel, his frenemy, basically trying to guide the Antichrist, the fake Antichrist, who they think has been given to this not evil family, but this family who is slightly corrupt, and they try to mentor him, whilst the real Antichrist is currently off living a normal life, growing up normally in some weird English town. Anyway, it's one of my favorite lines of the whole series is, actually, there's so many good lines, but one of my favorites is, upon meeting Aziraphale, people form three opinions of him. One, that he's British. Two, that he is intelligent. And three, that he is gayer than a tree full of monkeys on nitrous oxide. Because Aziraphale, being an angel, is quite camp, very clean, meticulously, and just quite funny all over. But anyway, regardless, I would highly recommend watching this because it's, Neil Gaiman was a creative producer for the series. So you have literally one of the authors, unfortunately, Terry Pratchett has passed away. Neil Gaiman literally had an input into the creation of this show. So that is huge. Like, because a lot of the times, you know, the rights are bought and the author's just like, hey, we've got your work. We're going to do whatever we want with it. So, couple of stars. Crowley is played by none other than David Bloody Tennant.
Is that his full name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is that his middle name?
It's middle. Yeah, Bloody. That is now. I'm going to go and request that he change it immediately. And Aziraphale is played by Michael Sheen. There's a whole bunch. Check out the trailer because there's a new one that's just released. We've put up an old one on the Surviving the Apocalypse in Nerdsway Facebook page before.
Yeah.
But this new one that's out is a lot more detailed and just looks incredible. So give it a whirl. I'd highly recommend reading the book beforehand.
Really?
Yeah. You can try.
Because I wanted to buy it when I was in France at Shakespeare & Co.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Shakespeare & Co?
I haven't been to France, so you'll have to. I have no idea.
I think that is. But I couldn't find it, so I bought Neverwhere instead.
Ah, fair. Good omens. Give it a read. Now, I would recommend, sometimes I recommend Audible. However, whilst the Audible version of the book is good, the book is better for the first time because there's little asterisks and then notes down the bottom that will expand upon what has been said, which is quite funny because it's, you know, just like a random little bit to the story.
I wonder if they'll try to add something like that.
Like a narrator?
Yeah.
I hope so. That's
narrated
why I'm so
by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, if that happens. Wait. He is in it.
No.
Benedict Cumberbatch is in it. No. He plays Satan.
I have to see that. No. You've got it. Did someone just like look at my wish list or something and go tick, tick, tick?
Yeah, no, he's in it. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
If Matt Smith also showed up, then I'd be like, my favorite show in the world.
Mm-hmm. It was funny. I saw a tweet the other day. Yeah. Georgia Tennant, David Tennant's wife.
Yeah.
She took a photo of David Tennant and her father changing a light bulb and it said, how many doctors does it take to change a light bulb? Oh, I loved it so much.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's hilarious. Anyway, sorry, yeah. So please, for the love of science, watch Good Omens. Now, the cool thing about it, because it's Amazon Prime.
I'm already sold, but you can keep adding to it.
Amazon Prime, because that's where it's being released, okay?
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I only need to watch Netflix.
Oh, fair. Well, yeah, you watch my Netflix. No,
that's actually true. I had to scab off Adam's Netflix account.
I'll have to give you my Amazon Prime account.
Okay.
But you can get it yourself because you can get the first month free, of course.
Oh, okay.
So get the Amazon Prime and get the first month free.
But what if all the episodes aren't out when I buy it?
It is, 100%. Six episodes, 6 hour long episodes are being released 31st of May.
Okay, that's it. I'm sold. I'm done.
So check it out, folks. I mean, and not to mention that Amazon Prime, the TV service that Amazon has, is far cheaper than every other streaming service out there.
Oh.
Like, quite, like, at least half price compared to the others. And it does have, it has a semi-decent library of TV shows. And, I mean, Good Omens is coming out, so, you know, that has me.
And does it have an official one for Australia, or do you just...
Yeah, it does, but, like, it's right, Prime Video, right there. Prime Video.
Prime Video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up. It's the second one, dude. Sorry, he's only... that one as well.
Anyway, I can look at this.
Yeah, sorry, we're just watching him go through this type of stuff going, oh, yes, that works out well. So give it a treat because it is magnificent, I'm telling you now. and it will be glorious. And let me know if you liked it or not come May 31st. And I will probably squeal with absolute delight upon watching it.
Okay, Adam, I have a question for you.
I am awaiting your question and shall respond with appropriate force.
If you had to, and I'm talking had to, there's no weaseling out of this.
Okay.
If you had to design your own reality TV show, what would it be?
Interesting. Okay. Give me a second to think. All right. I'm going to think out loud so that way you people just aren't listening to dead air.
I mean, or I could just say what mine is.
Yeah, you do that while I think.
Okay. So the way it works is you get a whole bunch of celebrities or random people, depending on if it's the celebrity version or not. Like, you've got to do both.
Ugh. Yeah.
Now, of course, what happens is you put a whole bunch of people in the room on the house or whatever, like Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is the TV show is quote unquote cancelled by the producers. And they're like, sorry, we ran out of funding. You've got to go home. Thanks for your time. And what they do is they let people back out into the world thinking that the show has ended. But they've set up a whole bunch of people and they've told them to tell them just little lies. Like, oh, what? No, hang on. You didn't have a younger brother. You've never had a younger brother. Like, all these weird little changes, and they could have hidden cameras. And you'd basically be just trying to convince people that they've gone crazy.
I'm not.
I think this was a lot darker than I thought it would be.
It is. That's fair. And while you're talking, my mind's been playing in the background, and I've come up with at least four other reality TV shows now.
Okay, but what's your best one?
My favorite one would be, and not something I would ever participate in, mind you.
Okay.
The Mars One project is coming up, right?
That's good. I don't even know what it is yet, but it's good.
So you have a whole bunch of applicants.
Mm.
So why not a reality TV show? Because I'm pretty sure Mars One is going to be a reality TV show anyways.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sadly.
I guess that's the way to get funding.
Yeah, that's exactly why they're doing it.
Well, I would watch that show, I suppose. I mean, yeah. I would have to, because I want us to eventually escape Earth and
escape.
Colonize
sounds like
the
we're
planets.
Being, it sounds like we're being held hostage by Earth.
Our own destruction of Earth, sure.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, so why not a pre-reality TV show to Mars One, where we have a select group of applicants, such as, I don't know, let's say 30. And this is an elimination process or anything like that. This is more like surviving the island with Bear Grylls or whatever. Except it's, you know, surviving fitness training, living as you would on Mars One, and seeing if they can have the mental fortitude to endure through this type of stuff. So it's a mix of Big Brother, except of, you know, fun entertainment stuff with, you know, all these pretty people, because, you know, that's basically what Big Brother is. You put a whole bunch of A-grade plastics and jocks in there, and, you know, oh, look at the drama that's coming through. Oh, you don't want anyone with mild intelligence in there to have an interesting conversation. No. Viewers
hate
that.
Your bias is coming out.
Yeah, sorry. You'd have, instead of like a Big Brother, you'd have a more innovative group of super geniuses, essentially, in this Mars One project, in a replica station on, that would be Mars One.
All right. Oh, how about this? We have all of that, but then also we just throw a random comedian in as well.
Oh, yeah. You need something like a Raoul.
For the comic relief.
I'm cool with that. So that would be one of them.
I'm thinking Ricky Gervais.
No.
Yeah. What about... I don't know. Who would be...
Nick Offerman.
Who's that?
Nick Offerman. Ron. Oh,
no, that would just be sad.
Oh, no, he's great.
All right, okay.
Him and his wife, they're hilarious. So anyway, that would be one of my reality TV shows. I can't remember the other one that I came up with while you were yabbering on about your one.
Making people question
reality. Yeah, making people question their reality.
I've got another one, and it's even
a group of authors.
Well, okay.
Group up together then. To form up and create a new story. It's only like a mini series reality TV show where it's basically them sitting in a quiet room discussing ideas about this book.
Only you would watch this.
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay, my
guest
one,
starring Patrick Rothfuss.
My one is heaps better.
Yeah.
What it is you pick a random computer game playing person who's like addicted to World of Warcraft, loves it, plays it every day.
Yeah.
And what you do is you force them to learn how to do everything their character can do. So if their character can do like climbing up walls and stuff, the challenge is to be able to...
You've never played WoW before, have you?
Maybe not World of Warcraft, but just a game or like combat. So you teach them how to do hand-to-hand combat and you give them a sword that looks like the sword in
Blacksmithing,
the rear
thing. Things like that.
Yeah, like, oh man, that'd be cool. Like learning how to forge your own
honestly,
sword.
Honestly, I would love to do some blacksmithing. Like,
all right,
no doubt.
Let's do it on a future episode.
Hey, I'm cool with that. As long as it gets me near a forge, learning how to forge like a gigantic broadsword.
If you know anyone who works in blacksmithery.
Like a forge?
Works at a forge.
Mm-hmm.
But not like a... Not like an iron ore forge or something. Like one where they're actually making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just email thenerdsway@gmail.com.
Yeah, I will go... preferably in Perth, but you know,
if you can afford to fly us out, it'll be good advertising for your forge.
And fly us back because we will get stranded.
The world may end before then. Oh, not worrying about
hopefully.
It.
Hopefully. So yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, so that's interesting. I don't mind that. Reality TV shows. Interesting. So let us know your ideas of reality TV shows. I'd be interested to hear what you've come up with.
We have an exciting new segment coming up in a future episode. We are going to interview a live? I don't know. A real professional astrophysicist. And they're going to tell us how the world is going to end due to things falling out of the sky. And also how the world hasn't ended so far, because I think that's pretty unlikely that the world still exists today.
Well, it's because we're in a simulation, John.
Oh, okay. That actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll ask the astrophysicist whether they think that a computer would be capable of calculating our current reality or something. But what I want you to do, fine listeners, is tweet us at thenerdsway_pod or email us in at thenerdsway@gmail.com. All your questions that you would have for a astrophysicist.
Oh, God.
I mean, Adam's falling asleep, but we'll be more lively for actual interview.
I do love astrophysics, but for our listeners, for those who may not know, describe what an astrophysicist is.
I think that they work on like newspapers and stuff, and they tell you what is going to happen to you that day. No, not really. I'm just kidding.
If you have any questions about space, essentially, so like cool planets and things like that... tweet, let us know.
Cool planet.
Now, this isn't
just
going to be me.
Ask that. What is the coolest planet you know about?
True.
And they'll say, like,
this isn't just
going to
be me with, like, doing a funny voice, is it? I mean, we haven't.
No, it's a real astrophysicist.
Are you sure? Because I can talk like this.
Adam,
now, actually.
Adam, no, fakey. No, it's a real astrophysicist.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. So I have no idea who this is, or this would be a nice little surprise.
Okay.
So that should be interesting. Did you, like, kidnap an astrophysicist I should be aware of? Am I going to need, like, a plausible alibi for being in your house at the moment?
Well, I'm not going to say that's what I did, but. Plausible alibis are always helpful.
True.
Mark, like, quote...
Right now,
John,
I have a doppelganger walking around Joondalup in front of all the ATM cameras, yeah, so that way
exactly.
I'm not actually here.
How did you find someone that looks so much like you?
John, I've been meaning to tell you this for some time. I'm actually a twin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nobody really knows this, so please
keep
it between us.
Is that why every second time I see you, you've forgotten what we did last time?
Pretty
but
much.
You remember the time before that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been an interesting experience with my twin of late. We take turns working. You know, it's pretty good. I don't mind it. Anyway, that's random and weird. So astrophysics should be glorious. I'm going to come up with some questions because I love some good old-fashioned space science. And, I mean, let's face it. Physics is just spicy math.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It totally is. Oh, fun times.
Physics is actually the best form of math, so...
Well, it's spicy math.
Bit of geometry, you know, bit of good stuff.
Your face is geometry. Your existence is geometry.
Trigonometry.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Thank you for listening to today's episode.
Oh, we're actually ending.
Oh, I don't know, unless you have something else to say.
No, I'm good.
Oh, we're so organized.
Yeah, sorry, I thought that because we did have, like, we have three more topics.
One is to do the triangle dance,
which
but
I prefer to cut off parts of my vital anatomy.
Okay, yep. The other one is the fact that WA only has 10 public holidays instead of 13 like other states. But then I realized that other countries in the world have 10 or less public holidays anyway, so I can no longer complain.
What would you... Because, I mean, if we wanted to add an extra three...
Yes.
What would be the public... add one public holiday.
Surviving the Apocalypse of the Nerds Way Day.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Mine would be Reading Day.
Ooh,
where everybody has a day off to... And they have to, by law, which would mean everybody would have to get, like, a government psycho implant. But I'm cool with that as well.
Okay.
Because on
I'm
that day...
I'm not cool with that, but let's go with it.
Let's go... What date would it be? I'm going to go with... the 11th of November, just because 11-11.
You know that's Remembrance Day already, right?
Okay, not going to do that because not going to impinge upon our
literally
troops.
Literally forgot Remembrance
Day. I did,
Day.
Yeah, I did. Okay, let's go with, no, let's go, okay, the, f- no, yeah, 4th of April.
4-4, okay, mm-hmm. That's coming up.
Yep, so I would put on that and it would be a mandate for everybody to be at home and read something non-fiction to expand your empathy.
Oh, non-fiction?
Yep. No, sorry, fiction. Sorry, my apologies. Fiction. Yeah,
okay.
Because that will expand your empathy and it will give people a better understanding of how to fit into other people's shoes. And the government will give everybody a free book. E-book, probably an e-book. That would be
I don't know how we're going to afford this, but sure.
Hey, this is my idea for a public holiday. Yeah. Free reading day.
I really like it. The other, I like the idea of this is what we will all do that day and it will be of benefit to society.
Yep.
Like other ones could be like, I don't know, no using social media day or something.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And all the social
media.
All
the internet
could,
like except for vital current, like vital things, everything cuts off.
No medical.
Mobile networks, all that type of stuff. I'd like that.
Just mobile networks for data, but not emergency phone calls.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it'd be really interesting. Like, we all just go back in time for a bit.
Yeah.
Slow down, chill out, actually talk to our neighbors and...
Yeah,
well,
no,
I mean, you
that.
Wouldn't do that,
no,
but some
would.
People could.
Yeah, yeah. I'd sit at home and read. That's my day.
So reading day would be the same as non-technology
for me,
day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
except
that's
I couldn't,
2 days.
You know, except I couldn't just, you know, every now and then just like look at my phone and go, oh, like if something emotional just happened in a book, okay. I'd just be like, okay, so for instance, quick side note here. We've spoken about it before, the Mistborn series, and because your wife is currently reading it, and she's just on the last book of the first trilogy. However, I've just started I've almost finished, sadly, the last book of the second trilogy. And I find that every now and then, there are super emotional parts where I have to stop listening or reading and do something else, be it listening to music or something, because I would just get overwhelmed and way too overstimulated, be it with emotion, of course, that I just can't continue on. Like, there was this... No, because it would spoil something. So the main character, he has to do something that is absolutely crushing, okay? And he does it, and, you know, the author, obviously, I mean, super paraphrasing here, he does it and, you know, writes out that, you know, lets out like this scream of anguish and pain. And, you know, as Patrick Rothfuss said before, reading fiction enhances empathy. To like, that is what can give you empathy, because you are putting yourself in someone else's shoes whilst you're reading this. You're getting an idea of the way they think, and doing that constantly is like, it can be an emotional burden. It's as long as the author's decent, and yeah, it's just it's crushing. So,
yeah, I was gonna say, because when getting those moments of deep empathy, that is what That is what I read for. Like, when I get that, I'm like, oh, finally, it's a good, really good book that I can get invested in.
Mm. I didn't find that with the first part of the trilogy.
Mm.
I found it really deeply with the second. Because it's not that I can relate to him, because obviously I'm not some weird metal-born guy that can jump with using the power of steel.
Oh, okay. If you've read any, cleared that up.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, that makes no sense to anybody who hasn't listened to Mistborn, but or read Mistborn, rather. But nonetheless, this is why I love the Rothfuss, not as just an author, but as a person. Because he has said that reading fiction enhances empathy. And that is possibly one of the truest statements I've ever heard.
Yeah, you're getting a brain dump from the author.
Yeah.
You're understanding things from the author's point of view.
Mm.
Or even the point of view that the author is creating based on people they've met. And just so many levels of empathy.
All right.
I mean, it's really important for you as well because you're a robot, robot that was not programmed to feel empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know this? Because he spent probably about half an hour when we were about to start recording today trying to log into Google to get access to our spreadsheet with the list of topics.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was the robot checked just to check that he wasn't a robot trying to hack the
and
login.
And I failed every time.
So we have confirmed that Adam is a robot. But I don't know. It doesn't come as that much of a surprise to me.
Maybe I'm going to be a killer robot and you're going to be my next victim. Thanks for listening, folks. This has been Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, there you go. Our three holidays. Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way Day, Reading Day, and Technologyless Day. Of note, you can read on all 3 days because it's a nerdy thing to do. It's good when there's no technology and, well, the reading day.
Except the reading day is literally government mandated. And if you don't do it, you get a free book, yes. But if you don't do it, you get imprisoned for 16 years.
That's very specific.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's how long we have to wait for Doors of Stone.
Oh, man. Too real. Too real.
Thank you for listening, folks. You can contact us on Twitter at thenerdsway_pod. Give us some questions for an astrophysicist.
Yes.
It'll be glorious. You can email us at thenerdsway@gmail.com. Yeah, look at this. I'm friggin' awesome.
The Facebook.
And the Facebook is Surviving the Nerd's Way. It's Facebook/ The Nerd's Way.
Facebook.com/TheNerd's Way.
Yeah, there you go. Or you can just search for us, Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerd's Way, and we'll show up. And yeah, it'll be great. We have t-shirts. You can have a look at those if you want. John and I wear ours quite frequently.
And it's really good. The mansion that I bought from all the royalties.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's $7, $10 or something now. More is it? Oh my!
No, less. It's nowhere near that. You don't get much per t-shirt.
Oh, noted. Yeah, we're not doing this for the money. It's literally just I like the t-shirt.
But I am keeping all the money aside to pay for our island, as we discussed in episode
true.
2.
Yep. So we're at a solid $2 at the moment, folks.
We're 1/3 millionth of the way to our $6 million island.
Whew!
All right, almost there, but you're all invited, but only if you have the t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have a t-shirt. Yeah. That's your ticket on. All right, cool.
I mean, wait, that means we're going to have 6 million people on the island.
Yeah, and then I release the plague. I mean, yeah, we have enough supplies for that, definitely.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Supplies of plague. Supplies of food is what I meant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be glorious. Fun times. Well, if you're interested in murder, please do recommend this podcast to your friends.
No, what? No. If you're interested in giving them an amazing experience.
And murder.
Of crows.
Oh, boom. Fun times. Okay. All right. Much love, folks. Enjoy your week. And I will talk to you when the sun sets in the north and the wind blows from beneath.
And I'll talk to you on Monday.
Fair.